to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Wednesday, November 9th, Jason Moore, Mike. The fantasy hitman.
Jason Moore and Mike.
And Mike. Andy's
good.
Here, too. That's me.
The thing about my name, it is so unique that you could just, it's like Britney. Just start calling me Mike. People will know.
Which Mike I'm talking
yep.
about?
There's only one.
It's like Madonna and Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Have you ever gone by Michael?
I was Michael until, because that was the name that my parents gave me.
Right.
And then I got into third grade. And
you made the change?
And I made the change. Yeah. There was just always other Michaels mm-hmm. in my class.
You said, that's my father's name.
But it's like big shocker at that time, just Michaels everywhere, as we still are. And I was tired of it. I said, okay, I'm third grade. I'm Mike now.
It's very interesting because I made the transition from Andrew to Andy in third grade.
Oh, that's when we became men.
Yeah, this one we decided to take our own.
Did as well around third grade. I made the transition from
Jasonathew
from Randy to Jason.
Yours is a little more extreme,
right?
Yeah. Also strange. Sure,
it's middle name to first name.
Do your parents still call you?
No,
Michael?
They call me Mike.
They make the change?
Yeah, they were very surprised,
I'm
though,
still Andrew to my parents.
At the in third grade, when they went to the parent-teacher conference, meeting, and they were like talking about Mike, my mom was like, what?
Oh, she found out? That's how she found out?
It was under the radar.
Hey, Brooksy, your parents, do they still call you Brooklyn?
No, they call me Brooksy.
Mm. Okay.
I think you should start going by Brooke. Ooh. Just shorten it.
That plenty in my life.
Oh, you have?
And, oh, yeah.
And that wasn't, you didn't like it.
Nah, you got to have that S in there.
Right.
Because there's more than one Brooke.
Brooks Robinson.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I get it.
Well, that was a great start to the show. Welcome in, Ride or Die, NFL Trade Talk, as in news, and then we'll talk trades.
Fantasy trades.
Yeah, fantasy trades. Thursday night preview today, some mailbag. Couple of things here at the top. Spotify Live today, 3 p.m. Pacific, ooh, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Get ready to party.
The party room. And then congratulations to the current Megalo Bowl leader.
They're back.
The shark from Jaws 3D is back on top, 18-0.
Can't keep a good shark down.
Almost 1,500 points.
Wow.
So congrats. I mean, you haven't won, but you're in the lead.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, you're going to get in the playoffs. You'll be out the first round. But this is really impressive what you've done so far.
I also have a miniature PSA I want to give for the Megalo Bowl right now.
Okay.
It just feels necessary. We're heading into week 10. And I just want to address trades in the Megalo Bowl.
This is the trade episode of the Fantasy Footballers. Makes sense.
And so we have a wonderful commissioner, Ray Smith, who takes care of a lot of what takes place in these Megalo Bowl leagues. And the Megalo Bowl is extremely popular. I think about 20,000 people playing it every year. And Papa Josh helps out as well. But I just want to appeal to the sensibilities of the mostly wonderful Megalo Bowl players to please, please don't try to process disgusting collusion trades in the Megalo Bowl. And I know that it's few and far between. We see them. We reverse them,
mm-hmm.
and if we, for some reason, wouldn't have seen it, and you go on to win, you don't win.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't win by cheating, even if you got away with it.
You're just wasting everyone's time and being a turd. And we don't want you to be a turd. So,
which is one of the rules of the Megalo Bowl. Don't be a turd.
That's right. That's right.
So just be aware that we have our eyes on all those leagues. And this is as much to the other people in the leagues that if you witness one of those things take place, please reach out to us. We will fix it. We are very anti-veto as a podcast. We don't believe in the veto. But in the Mega Bowl in particular, we are going to turn something, like if the 12th place team trades their four best players for the four, you know, worst players on the first place team, that's not going to happen.
That, not in my house.
No. So just be good people.
Yeah.
Which most of you are, but the turds out there.
We smell you.
Wipe. Wipe better.
A more just like awareness of Mega Bowl. Make sure you know what the rules are. Because
Megalobowl.com.
It's a gigantic tournament, and so we kind of have to alter some things. So waiver additions, they get turned off at some point. Jason, I'm speaking not out of turn, right?
Yeah, the waivers are locked in the playoffs. No ads will be allowed in the playoffs.
So make sure
you
are. Yes, be prepared for that.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, if you've got questions on those rules, Megalobowl.com, we've got kind of the breakdown. Just read a little bit more than you have in the past.
Yeah, trade deadline week 11. So keep yourself ready to go. The teams that win they know the rules and they play by them. So let's do some ride or die.
Ride or die, presented by Chevrolet.
Well, Jason and I made opposite decisions on all three picks last week, and so Jason won them all. So yep. If you want to ride with somebody,
let's ride.
Based on recent history, ride with Jason.
Footland.
Stupid Antonio Gibson.
Let's ride.
Yeah, he was the only. Jason was the only one not to believe in Antonio Gibson, Kyle Pitts, and the only one, well, not the only one to believe in Geno Smith. Mike did as well. But this week, heading into week 10, ride or die predictions. Brooks, what do we have?
All right, guys. First one is Juju Smith-Schuster versus the Jaguars.
Ooh.
Will this trend continue? Top 15 fantasy wide receiver. He's done it 3 weeks in a row.
I was surprised when I was looking into this. He's got two games on the season where he's had fewer than 8 targets. Since week 3, he's basically on pace for 140 targets. I'm really surprised how involved he's been because, you know, when we saw the first 2 weeks, like week 2, he had 10 yards. It just seemed like, oh, yeah.
The longer you play with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the more you target other receivers. And Sky Moore has been not impressive as well. Spoiler alert, I'm riding here, and he's my start of the week this week.
Oh, okay. Neato.
Go ahead.
I will once again take the opposite of Andy. I will choose... die here solely because last week 6 teams on bye, he squeaked in as the wide receiver 15. I do think he's a fine play. That's not to say that it's a bad matchup or that he is someone you should bench at all. In PPR he should be good, but I do think they'll get Kadarius Toney more and more involved and more competition on the week. I will choose die.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with die as well. The matchup is very, very juicy. But heard a good friend of the show, JJ Zacharyson, was talking about the usage of Juju of you. Okay, last 3 weeks, huge yardage. He's been fantasy relevant. You would think, oh, well, maybe they're going downfield more with Juju. It is, in fact, the opposite. They're coming closer into the line of scrimmage as in fewer high air yardage targets. So that's very fascinating that he's starting to thrive in that, which was, the last time we saw him in Pittsburgh where he was doing pretty well. That's kind of how they were using him. But top 15 it's a little too juicy for me, so I'll say die. But I'm with Jason that he's still a good play.
There's a lot of number confusion on my eyeballs now in Kansas City because Juju Smith-Schuster wears number 9 in Kansas City, but he wore number 19, which is now the number that Kadarius Toney is wearing in Kansas City. And so you see 19 and you think maybe it's Juju. They run him like a tight end. I mean, they run him like Travis Kelce. Him and Kelce will go run mirror routes and then Mahomes will choose to throw it to Juju sometimes instead of Kelce. Devontae Smith is our second ride or die prediction. Brooks, what's the line you have for us here?
All right. At Washington, or at least against the Commanders, 70 receiving yards.
Home versus the Manders.
The Manders' defense has been much better recently. Not great, but better. That being said, they are the number one best defense over the last 6 weeks against tight end. On the season, if you adjust for schedule, they are number three. They, you know, so I think they match up well against Dallas Goedert. I don't like how high this line is. It makes me, like, I wish I could get this at, like, a 65, but I'm going to ride because I do think Devonta Smith has a good game. So
is that because you traded for him?
It is not because I traded for him. There is hope. I mean, my hope he has a great game because I traded for him. But I do think that it lines up decent in this matchup for Devonta Smith.
Mike?
Let's see. So over his game log, we saw him hit over this threshold in week 5 against Arizona, week 2 against Minnesota, and week 3 against, you know, the Manders. So that's when he had that huge game where he was the wide receiver 1 with about 169 yards and a touchdown. But it's too high. It's too high for me, so I'm going to die.
I'm going die as well. Chris,
yeah,
God,
take that, Jason.
I don't blame you.
I didn't trade for Smith, so I'm out.
I feel like the line should have been like 62 and a half. But whatever. What's done is done.
You mean so that we could all? Oh, you would have gone a more comfortable ride.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
A more luxurious. Yes.
Right now it's bumpy.
Yeah, I want a smooth ride.
Chris Godwin versus Seattle. Brooks set the line at 12 fantasy points.
I abstain.
He had 12.5 in week 6 against Pittsburgh. It's the only game he's done it this year. He hasn't scored a touchdown. I'm going to ride. I am pretty bullish on Tampa Bay this week after the comeback victory over the Rams. I know it's been a rough ride, as bumpy as it gets.
Yeah, there's no shocks.
No, this ride is, I mean, it's going to, you might end up with a concussion, but I'm going to go with it. I'm going to ride.
So I was blown away looking at how many targets Chris Godwin has had
comparatively.
He plays in week 1, which was shocking, right? We did not expect Chris Godwin to be ready. And then early on in that game, you know, he only played 31% of the snaps because he injured his hamstring, was out for a month. Since he has been back, he is on pace through those 6 games for a full season pace of 175 targets.
That's great.
He's got 0 touchdowns. And I think we're going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but if that is an outlier. I will ride with Chris Godwin. I think he gets a touchdown soon, hopefully this week, since I'm riding. And I do believe that Chris Godwin is, for today's episode, he is a really good trade for target. He's still coming back off that injury. We know it takes time for these guys to just get up to their previous production from the injury. He's got his bye next week. So I think the rest of the season, Chris Godwin's going to be a really, really solid play.
It's so bizarre what is happening in Tampa Bay. You'll have Tom Brady looking just completely washed. You have Chris, then you have the what looks like miscommunication between these guys. Bad ball placement.
Drops all over.
Yeah, and then the receivers start dropping when Tom Brady's actually hitting. It's so bizarre. But that line... We'll go. I have to ride for my team, but 12 points. If we could just get the one touchdown this week, and we'll get that get some bonjour luck here for Germany.
All right, that was Ride or Die presented by Chevy Silverado. Learn more about Chevy Silverado at Chevy.com.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
One of the players we're going to talk about today is Leonard Fournette, because I think so much pressure has been put on the passing game in Tampa Bay. And so when you have that much pressure on you, that many attempts, no running game, people start to press, you get drops, you get miscommunications. I don't know. It's at least where I place some of the blame beyond Brady. All right, news and notes. Josh Allen dealing with a sprained right elbow. It will limit him this week. Not considered major, but definitely a solid, like, normal amount of questionable for week 10, like actually questionable.
Yeah, I think it's 50-50 that he plays. You need to be prepared to be without him. That means you need to be prepared not only if you are the Josh Allen manager, you're going to start Diggs no matter what, but like Gabe Davis is a Josh Allen creation. This is why I love him. if Josh Allen was not playing, you know, I would like to pivot and have a different player in my lineup.
Yeah, okay. John Harbaugh said he expects Gus Edwards back for week 11.
Beep, beep. It's going to be complicated.
I mean, that's 2 weeks from now. It's one of the benefits of having Kenyon Drake go this past week. He was great, and then you get more time for that hamstring. Jameson Williams, Lions coach Dan Campbell says he hopes to get him back in December sometime.
Okay. Cool.
Well,
cool.
The news has been all over the place. We've got an amazing lineup of news in this show doc. All that happened on the 2nd of the month, so the next update will come December 2nd, apparently.
When he's out for the season?
Originally, he was back in March, way ahead of schedule to return. Then in August, it looked like November. Then in September, it was going to accelerate the timeline, and then the Lions lost so many games that I think they're like, let's just take it slow with him sometime in December. But I mean, he's not a usable fantasy asset for redraft.
Might he negatively affect your confidence in Amon-Ra St. Brown in the clutch part of your fantasy playoffs?
He wouldn't for me. I mean, maybe he comes out and he's just an electrifying rookie wide receiver off of an ACL in his, you know, those first couple games at the end of a season. But if anything, to me, it would just help the offense take some of the pressure off and get Amon-Ra back in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, week one, DJ Chark had a really good game stretching the field, doing good things, and Amon-Ra also did.
Yeah, you don't want a Elijah Moore situation with the rookie right. Garrett Wilson. Colts assistant quarterbacks coach Parks Frazier, 30 years old, I believe, will call offensive plays under Jeff Saturday.
Okay.
He used all his words up yesterday.
I have no comment.
Okay. Well, there you go. What is this piece of news you have here, Kyle?
Jeff Saturday plays against Devontae Adams, and it was confirmed a couple weeks ago he's on his fantasy team.
I have to imagine that Jeff Saturday has relinquished control of his fantasy roster.
Or has he?
Or else he's taking it to the next level to win, guys. Look, we're not going to double-team Devontae Adams this week. We're going to kind of – I think let's put our rookie quarterback on him, really make him show how good he is.
We're going cover zero every play.
So we don't need to talk about Jim Irsay saying that he doesn't know how to make sausage. He has no idea what goes into sausage, but he does know how to build an NFL team.
There's an endless list of quotes from that press conference. He also had one where he said, they're not making rockets. You know, they're just like when it was like talking about Jeff Saturday's ability to coach teams, like he's not building rockets. It's just football.
So it's somewhere in between like sausage and rockets.
Right.
Okay. That's where just, football lands.
Football is, scientifically speaking, somewhere between making sausage and building a rocket.
Okay.
And to be fair, I think that's true.
Right.
I think it is more complicated than making a sausage, less complicated than building rockets for outer space. So, well said, Irsay.
All right, that was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Let's talk trades.
Let's talk about it.
Welcome in, trade segment. Very important. Trade deadline's on the way. Lots of them are before the Week 11 kickoff. Depends on your platform, what you set up. I know in a couple of my leagues, they are at the end of this week. And then we have a playoff primer episode coming next week. So we're getting you ready to go. I know we're just over the halfway point now in the actual NFL season, but we're well beyond that in the fantasy season. And so we are going to talk about the most asked about players and trade candidates that have come through on Twitter and Instagram. Brooks has collected a number of these for us, and we will begin with the dump truck himself, Leonard Fournette.
Really disappointing that he has to have been the early season favorite for nickname of the year.
Yeah.
And this is what he's doing to us.
Yeah, he's dumping your team like a truck.
Yes.
This is a situation where, look, I was looking at starts of the week this week. And I looked long and hard at Rashad White because okay. I do believe a necessary transition is coming. We talked about this in the office a little bit yesterday. Leonard Fournette, he has a history of emotional tumult. Sure. He's a pretty temperamental player. Then it comes out last week he was extremely frustrated when he was not on a drive that Rashad White was on. He's been under three a carry for three consecutive games. His the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, we talk a lot about Najee Harris. Do they make a change? He can't run the football. He can run the ball better than Leonard Fournette can run the ball right now. Now, Fournette is very valuable in the passing game, which I think necessitates his time on the field. But Rashad White can do that too. And as you attempt to make a transition, you know, this team saved their season last week by beating the Rams.
Right.
Rashad White has significantly more juice. You do see rookies start to make their move in the second half of the year. And The Athletic came out yesterday and said the momentum's going to be with Rashad White at the end of the season as well. So from a fantasy perspective, that's all the kind of prologue of the question, what do you do with Leonard Fournette? What kind of target is he in this offense, and what are your expectations? Because without the rushing ability, he hasn't been any sort of league winner for you. He stabilized your team due to pass catching at times. But what do you think?
And the touchdowns overall are just, they're not flowing for Tampa Bay. They're thinking through it. Like I believe for Tampa Bay, because the passing game is not working, the run game doesn't work. They aren't run to pass. They are pass to run, is at least the way that I feel like Tom Brady operates his offense. For me, Fournette is not a trade at all costs. I'm not just jumping out of a moving car to get away from Leonard Fournette. But we have some interesting ideas here, like from Instagram, from Steven said, should I trade Fournette and Tony Pollard for Dalvin Cook? And to me, that's an upgrade that I would be immediately taking. Dalvin Cook, I mean, Tony Pollard is, if Zeke is gone, he's crazy good for fantasy purposes, but the team has already said Tony Pollard or Zeke will be the lead guy again. It will go back to the timeshare. And Fournette is kind of stuck in his, what looks like an evolving timeshare. So I would immediately go to Dalvin Cook if I could.
Yeah, whenever there is a running back that is solid, but I have fears over them, you know, we talk about this, you try to trade up at the position. And that's what this is. If you can turn a Leonard Fournette into a Dalvin Cook, that is a clear upgrade at running back. It's hard to trade away Leonard Fournette in general because, like, right now, we're disappointed with his production. He is a top 10 running back. He's the running right. back nine. His pass catching is a really solid baseline that helps your team. I am certainly not trading for Leonard Fournette. I'm not paying up to go get him, and I don't think that people are really selling him for pennies on the dollar. So it's a matter of in your league whether you can convert Leonard Fournette and a piece into a better running back. It's, otherwise – what, you know, if you're trading him across the aisle for a wide receiver, then you've got to get someone really, really good to give up a solid running back spot. I doubt you get a significant enough upgrade at wide receiver.
Cordero Patterson. Would you rather have Patterson, man, or Leonard Fournette? Because that's one where, coming off the injury, the age, the frustration in the offense in Atlanta, you could pull off potentially the one for one.
Yeah, I think you could. I think that most people would take the Fournette side. So if you wanted Patterson, I think you get that trade to go through. I would stick it out with Fournette.
Okay, if you want to manipulate people, you can go to the number that, you know, the bye weeks are creating a different dynamic when it comes to what you are as a running back.
True.
I mean, Leonard Fournette is 17 by points per game. He's below Cordero by a significant margin. Cordero's 10 in points per game. So that might be an area, sure, you could pull it off. Would you rather have Fournette or, well, you answer the Patterson one, but then also throw Mostert in there.
I think I would take the shot on Patterson. Just the Falcons offensive game plan is here to stay at this point to me. And Patterson, Patterson looks good when he's getting the opportunity, getting a little bit more healthy. Well, the other, oh, Mostert, I would not. I to me, Mostert's arrow is pointing way, way down with the addition of Jeff Wilson. I think that's, it's going to, Mostert it moves into pretty much you have to get a touchdown or you might be looking at running back three numbers. They don't pass to him enough, and Jeff Wilson's very capable. But we do have a couple other questions here that we got for some Lions. So, Jason, this is from at Pilgrim DJB, Daniel okay. Jones Burner. Fournette or DeAndre Swift?
That's
which
a,
is
I mean, this
blowing
is,
my mind.
Yeah, that's a really interesting trade because what you're literally doing is you're saying one guy has a pretty good floor and his ceiling just isn't there and probably won't be there with Rashad White coming in.
But it could.
It could come back. Yeah. Touchdowns could go more his way. The other player has a just microscopic floor right
has
now
a,
in DeAndre Swift.
Has a five-touch ceiling right now.
Right. But his upside, if he gets healthy, comes back, could be a league winner. Personally, when I look at those two players, I'm on the Fournette side. I am pretty rather scared on DeAndre Swift. Fournette is a veteran playing for a veteran team. He's buddies with Tom Brady. I don't personally see the transition happening where Rashad White just takes over, especially in the passing game. He is a very capable pass catcher, but I do think that they will – if you look at the routes run numbers, they were drastically still in favor of Leonard Fournette, even though I think he only had like one more carry than Rashad White last week.
I'd probably go Swift because I'd be looking to close the deal at the end of the year, try to win a championship, and I think I'd try to get the magic from DeAndre
yep.
Swift.
That's how I lean.
Getting
as well.
Healthier, and I'd be a little afraid of that transition, but Jamal Williams getting a lot of opportunities right now as well.
Oh, man. Just to throw this out there, I know we'll do the playoff primer later, but the Detroit Lions, week 16 and 17, if you get to that deep run in the playoffs, Carolina, Chicago.
Oh, hello.
That's pretty nice for,
pretty
league,
juicy.
For league winning.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I did start to – so this is the time of year where, depending on your record, you are glancing at some of that stuff.
Yes.
And in the – like our Dynasty League – I'm very confident I'll be in the playoffs in that league. And I started looking even at matchups for premier players on your roster where, you know, your quarterback matches. Maybe you have somebody that's kind of locked in. We'll talk through all of those upcoming schedules, but it's time to glance
mm-hmm.
because your trade deadline is coming for preparation. So got another question for you, one final one about Leonard Fournette, but let's take a quick break before I get to it. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. Let's go cross positionally here with this final Fournette question. Would you trade him for Amon-Ra St. Brown? Say you're flexing Fournette.
This is interesting because, like, I don't have in my important leagues, I don't have Amon-Ra anywhere. It didn't work out with the ADP and everything for him to end up on any of my teams. But my opinion without having Amon-Ra St. Brown is still extremely high. Like, I think he's a great player. The situation of the Lions is pretty good. They end up in these shootouts where he's getting, you know, a ton of targets. His target percentage on the year is 26. That's a really healthy percent. And that includes, you know, two games where he essentially didn't – where he played. So it's against him, but he didn't really get targets because he got knocked out of the game. But is the fantasy community out there, are they souring on Amon-Ra St. Brown? Like, even people even ask the question of, oh, should I maybe be trading for this guy? Like, it's that's wild to me. Do you guys have Amon-Ra anywhere? And is your viewpoint on him still positive because you don't have him on your team? You haven't had to ride these highs and lows.
Yeah, I have the same viewpoint as you. I still view Amon-Ra as a really, really good player. He gets the targets that you know. You know, 10 targets, 9 targets last 2 weeks. He's been a disappointment the last 2 weeks, but he's still been a top 30 wide receiver. It's not like he's gone out there and goosed you. I don't think that he ever will. And if they do get into more shootouts around the goal line, now without TJ Hawkinson, I like Amon-Ra. And so it would have to be an Amon-Ra level wide receiver or higher, which I put him, you know, as a top 15 wide receiver for sure. I would take that trade.
Couple tough matchups coming up. This week is all right, but the Giants and Buffalo, weeks 11 and 12. It has been a little disappointing. What about you would take him over Fournette, I assume?
If you have the running back depth to handle this, I'm fine with that trade.
Is that true, Brooksy? Outside the wide receiver 28 5 weeks in a row?
Yeah. Last five that he's played.
I mean, because it includes, you know, so week 7 against Dallas, 17% of the snaps because he got hurt right away. And the game before that, 32% of the snaps against New England because he got hurt.
And the last 2 weeks outside the top 28 is true, but he was 29 both weeks. So it's like, that's a good line.
Yeah, 6 teams on bye last week.
Yeah, I get it. That's frustrating.
I think the bipolar nature of the offense, where you thought you could count on them as the top scoring offense, and then they get shut out, that plays a part in the confidence that the fantasy community has in Amon-Ra. You don't know which Lions offense is going to show up necessarily, and maybe he needed more of the help on the other side. Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, brother. I'm out.
You're out on Jonathan Taylor.
Of this discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not an easy one to have. This is your opinions on Jonathan Taylor probably need to be strong and will either look really smart or really stupid.
That's why I'm out. Good work, boys. Handle it.
I was asked the question of, would you trade Jonathan Taylor away to get Damian Pierce? Pretty much straight up.
Oh, gosh.
And my answer to that question on Twitter was, like, I don't have strong conviction about knowing where Jonathan Taylor's injury is taking him. When you combine that with offensive line struggles, Sam Ehlinger, Jeff Saturday, new play caller, there are so many variables there. And there aren't those variables with Damian Pierce. He's going to get 20-plus touches.
He's on, he's locked in. His volume is there. He's on a bad team. They're not going to score a bunch of touchdowns, but he's going to get every single carry.
And that's where I start to look at the Jonathan Taylor situation is, I found myself begging the fantasy world for 20 touches for Jonathan Taylor again. But even with that, you've got major offensive problems. And so I guess, Jason, do you think that you're like, why did you say my name? I mean, do you think that this, like,
Mr. JT over here, you've been the glue holding the faith.
All this swamp water that is what I'm going to refer to the Indianapolis situation. Is there any way he emerges without it all over him? I mean, like, is there a way that he runs through it for the rest of this season?
Yes, there is. I'm confident that there is a path forward. He's obviously a very super talented running back. There's a reason he was the 101 in most drafts. There's a reason he was the running back one last year. He is awesome. Now, he's injured, and he's in a swamp, for sure. Everything is completely up in the air. When you talk about the Dameon Pierce, Jonathan Taylor situation, with all the variables around Jonathan Taylor, yes, the ceiling is higher with Jonathan Taylor than the ceiling of Dameon Pierce. But the floor and the questions and the weeks that you're waiting, we still don't know if he's
playing.
Re-injury
risk is still a thing.
Yeah, it already happened once. The idea that the Colts are kind of more in tank mode, which, I mean, that's just a, you know, some people's theory of hiring a coach with no experience and putting your inexperienced quarterback back there. Maybe
some people might view that as trying not to win.
Maybe you let your superstar Jonathan Taylor sit longer, rest more. Yada, yada, yada. The point is, his floor is so significantly lower that I, at this point, would take Dameon Pierce's known touches. And he's looked great. 27 opportunities, 20, 24, 31, 20, 22. I mean, you know he's getting the ball a ton. He looks great with the ball in his hands. Again, he doesn't have the upside Jonathan Taylor has. But as far as answering the question, is there a path forward for Jonathan Taylor to be very good? Yes. Jeff Saturday is a former center. They tried to hire him as an offensive line coach in the past. He knows that world. If he can come in and improve this offensive line that was a strength of the Colts. Remember this offseason how Matt Ryan was going to have finally a good offensive line? Like, I know they've, you know, everybody's dealing with injuries, but if they can heal that, Jonathan Taylor gets healthy, and maybe these transactions are made because they're saying this division is winnable. We want to fix it now. We're not going to wait, and it's not a tank job. Absolutely. Jonathan Taylor comes back, becomes the heart, soul, and strength of this team, and, you know, is the running back one the rest of the way. But the floor is certainly, you're standing on a trap door, and you know it's a trap door. You could see the outline. You just don't know if someone's pulling the handle or not.
I know if you have Jonathan Taylor, this is a tough position to be in, because distancing yourself from what you thought you had and what you might actually have is, that is the hardest thing to do, because you are trading him on a reduction of value, and that feels terrible. Like, when you have to accept that somebody isn't what you think that they are, that's really hard. Like, I turned down a trade that included Ramondre and two picks 2 weeks ago. Why? Because of the promise, the hope, the dream that you get Jonathan Taylor, the original, not this version. But sometimes you have to make adjustments. Sometimes you have to accept the reality so that you can survive.
Yeah, I will say, before we get into some specifics on who we would trade Jonathan Taylor for, what we would maybe look to acquire him with, in a dynasty league, Jonathan Taylor's value is still outrageously high, and teams at this point in the season, if he is on a team that has a chance at winning a championship and you are more in rebuild mode, he's a player that was not available that you could try to actually go acquire. Because even if he sucks the rest of the season, he doesn't get healthy, they don't fix their issues, he is a super young, talented running back that they will be building this franchise around. So I would certainly be trying to trade for him in Dynasty if you're in that situation.
So where were you at with Pierce or Jonathan Taylor? Are you saying
I would take the Pierce side.
Okay, so if you have Pierce, you wouldn't trade him for Taylor?
I would not.
Okay, I think after hearing you guys lay it all out, if I had Pierce, if I can trade for Johnny Taylor, but also another running back who's at least going to get touches, you know, so let me look at the list. Like, how far down do you have to go? I mean, like,
Brian Robinson.
Yeah, if you like a Brian Robinson, A.J. Dillon, guys who are not tearing it up right now, Melvin Gordon, guys like, but you know that they will at least get some touches. So it kind of gives you some insurance as you wait for Jonathan Taylor to come back. It's a high variance, high upside move, because that can turn into the league winning situation. The worst, Jason, you laid it out. The worst part of talking about this is, I think there's a, when the season is done, there will be a definitive answer, and you will either be a genius or you will be stupid that you made the move that you traded Jonathan Taylor or traded for him.
I will take Dameon Pierce definitively.
Okay.
I think there's a world Jonathan Taylor comes back as completely healthy and Damian Pierce is a better fantasy running back. And then I don't have the injury concerns. I mean, Damian Pierce has been like top 12
sure.
four times in 6 weeks. So that's the side I go on with pain, with immense pain. But I want to accept the now. Jonathan Taylor, would you trade him away for Amari Cooper and Najee Harris?
No. No, Najee is worse than Jonathan Taylor. Najee might be worse than
because
Jonathan
Taylor
sitting. So, no, I would rather have Jonathan Taylor there. If I could turn, if you, like, obviously these are all true
if
in
I
reverse.
Could turn back time.
Good. I mean, like, don't discount, I mean, I think you're, it's interesting that you're so quick to turn down, like, Amari Cooper's in that trade. Amari Cooper is a top 10 wide receiver right now, gets Miami this week, in a couple weeks gets Houston. His playoff run is Baltimore, which is a, it's probably not great at this point, but then the Saints and the Manders. And I don't know, that trade is interesting to me because I think you get a big, big wide receiver upgrade, and then you get a running back who's not tearing it up but is at least
four of his last five games, Najee has been under 10 fantasy points. He's had single-digit fantasy points and is seemingly actively hurting rosters right now. So
sure.
I get getting Amari Cooper, but that's not worth it. I still believe that Jonathan Taylor will get healthy this season and be good at some point. The worry is at a month from now. Like I don't think Jonathan Taylor ends the season as a schlub. So
what's the technical definition of that?
The technical definition of a schlub
yeah.
is someone that scores around 10 fantasy points every week.
A Najee?
Right, exactly.
Wait, 10 is the floor to be a schlub?
Yeah.
The schlub, 10 at running back's nice.
Yeah.
A schlub's got to be six or below.
Oh, man, that's too
low. You are putting a schlub up on a pedestal here.
Yeah.
That's a very bad term.
I want some schlubs.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you got schlubs? You'll trade me 10
yeah,
point
I want
running
some schlubs, man.
I will accept that.
This schlub, guy only gets 10.
A schlub is ridiculous.
I don't even want to know what that makes Brian Robinson.
Under. But how about can it be a jag? A jag is a 10 point.
No,
it's 10
just
points
a guy.
Is great.
A 10 point is a Portis.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Clinton Portis was way better than
he was like
a
12.
You, what?
Look,
late
10
career,
points is
late
your
career
threshold?
Clinton Portis. Yeah, 10 is nice, man.
10 is okay, but that's not winning me a fantasy week. I need 15 from my running back.
So if they don't win you a fantasy week, they're a schlub? They can't be like a stabilizer?
I'm saying, yeah, if every single week I'm just getting 10 out of him, he's just a guy.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying like that's destroying my team, but I'm saying it's like...
Now, Mike, he might have a point here.
Okay.
I'm looking at the points per game totals.
Right.
And I think I'm elevating 10 a little higher than I think it should be.
Give us.
Here's the names below 10.
Okay.
And you tell me. This is a schlub test.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kenyon Drake, 9.6. Kareem Hunt, 9.5. Najee Harris, 9.4. Michael Carter, 9.2. I heard a couple schlubs in there.
Yeah, but you're listing off really hot, cold.
Is Raheem Mostert a schlub?
He's about to be. He's. I mean, well,
is David Montgomery a schlub?
Yeah, yeah.
James Conner?
No. James Conner's there.
Damian Harris.
James Conner is very interesting to me moving forward.
We've been talking about Leonard Fournette being disappointing and on a per game basis
the
being the of the schlub.
This word better mean what we think it
does.
Means.
It means a talentless, unattractive, or boorish person.
Okay.
Yeah. Phew.
Papa Josh, for example.
Oh, you're saying is a schlub? Oh,
yeah,
I saw his eyes. That was unkind.
He would not hit 10
he's
points.
He's not a schlub, is what I was saying.
Oh, very yeah. nice, very nice.
Wait, he's a 10-point player?
Oh, he's like a 9.6.
Okay. So Leonard Fournette, who you know has been disappointing, is the running back 17 on a per-game basis. He's up at 13.7 fantasy points per game. He's not a schlub. So I think I was right.
I think he's heading to Schlubville.
Right, sure.
I think he's got a ticket.
Yeah, that's fair. If you believe Rashad White is going to work his way into a 50-50 timeshare or even worse, then he's certainly.
So are you trading Amari Cooper? Would you want Amari Cooper and Najee for Jonathan Taylor?
If I need wide receiver help, I think that's fair. Amari Cooper And like, I'm not an Amari Cooper guy. My take on him heading into the season was, if it turns out that he's terrible, I'll go, eh. If it turns out he's great, I'll go, eh. All right. But right now, he's great.
I want to blitz some names, and I just want you to tell me trade for, trade away, or hold, okay?
Is this a for Jonathan Taylor?
Nope.
This okay. is just...
No, we're moving forward. We've got to get to Thursday
trade
night preview.
Trade for, trade away, or hold.
Yes, okay. I'm giving you names, and you just tell me what you view them as, because they're kind of controversial figures in fantasy. Gabe Davis.
Hold.
I trade away.
Okay.
James Conner.
Trade for.
You guys are both excited about the workload?
Yeah, he was the snaps were right back. It was the hard part with Connor was we didn't know. After being injured for a month, we didn't know if he would come back into the workload with Eno Benjamin being adequate. But he was right there. He looked healthy, and not many running backs get that level of actual
71% work. 71% of snaps, 5 targets, 5 Beautiful. Receptions.
Beautiful. Who you trade Fournette for? Ooh. I mean, we're doing the trade show. You got to answer that one.
No.
High risk, I think. No. I'm a coward.
But the point is, I think you can get James Conner much cheaper than a Fournette.
I think people want to maybe move on from Fournette.
I think people might want to move on from James Conner. If you have James Conner, he hurt you.
Najee for Conner.
Yeah, give me James Conner.
Mostert for Conner.
Give me James Conner.
Jeff Wilson for Connor.
Connor.
James Connor.
All right, Debo, trade for, trade away, or hold? Debo, hold. Samuel.
Hold.
Man, that one's tough.
He's turned into a balloon.
I've seen some trades.
One top 20 finish.
I've seen some trades where people have traded away Debo for quite a bit, and I've loved every single one, so I'm going to say trade away.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, and I'm not saying...
Where you know the talents there, you know how good they are, but you have to hope that they come back into form for the second half.
And I'm not saying you need to trade Debo Samuel away. I'm saying that you should test the waters and see if you can get a big haul for the hope that he can provide.
All right, let's do some Thursday night.
Thursday night breakdown.
You know it's a good matchup when our graphic was that. Who was in there?
Cordero
and DJ Moore.
Oh, yeah. No quarterbacks to be seen.
The Atlanta Falcons are 4-5. They take on the 2-7 Carolina Panthers. The over-under is 44. The Falcons are 3-point favorites. And why don't we just mix in a little hurricane?
Little bit
tropical
rain.
Tropical storm Nicole going to be raining on the parade here.
Yeah, what parade exactly?
The parade of the last time we saw the Falcons and Panthers play just 2 weeks ago, where it was a barn-burning, awesome fantasy bonanza.
Well, P.J. Walker's going to start again. Marcus Mariota on the other side. We got Cordero Patterson back, and we're going to get Chuba Hubbard back. He had a full practice. Deonta Foreman dominated against the Atlanta Falcons last time out. I believe there was in that game they had 10 straight scores between the teams. But Chuba will be back, and Deonta Foreman was bad last week. So where are you with Foreman's potential?
I mean, the Falcons are so bad. Chuba, even if Chuba is back, full practice on Tuesday, that's interesting that, you know, and he had the limited practices the other week. But Deonta Foreman, after what he has done for this team, it's hard to imagine they don't give him most of at least the early carries. And early carries against the Atlanta Falcons, you can be very successful. Do not expect 118-3 this week against the Atlanta Falcons. But Foreman to me looks like a usable running back too.
Yeah, I would agree.
Cordero, a must start in this game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cordero came right back into the fold after missing 4 weeks, was 13 for 44, 2 touchdowns, and just 1 reception. So the touchdowns really helped. They said they were going to limit him. They did. I mean, Tyler Allgeier had a nice game as well, but Patterson should get more work in this game.
Yeah, I think Tyler Allgeier is probably the most interesting name in this game outside of Lockjaw. So Tyler Allgeier.
No. Did you get good feedback on that?
Yeah, I think the people like the Lockjaw. the people I'm referring to is Kyle.
They don't like Lockjaw, as in the issue.
No. Yeah. That's awful. Like, just like Terrace Marshall Jr. No, but Tyler Allgeier has played his way into a permanent role, I believe. When you saw the season open up and Cordero was awesome, he was still not, you know, it took an injury ahead of him before he got that, like, huge workload. I don't think they want to give him, 25 carries. That's not their game plan. Obviously, injury can dictate that. But I think Tyler Allgeier is good for double-digit carries in this game.
Yeah, he dipped from 14 to 10 last week, but he had a 44-yard run and almost hit the 100-yard mark. Just one catch. He has been at times targeted, but it'll be... I mean, it's a risky play. Would you rather play Chuba or Allgeier?
Allgeier. Chuba coming back off of the ankle injury and the success that Foreman had last time these two teams played. That's close, though.
No longer existing on the plane of fantasy existence, Drake London.
Yeah.
You need to just not think about that at all. DJ Moore, disappointing.
Because you will get horrifically angry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not... It's not an. This is what the Falcons are. Why target share can't be the only thing you look at.
Yeah, I mean you have to take that into consideration with the team and the offense as a whole. It's just one piece.
But even still, he had seven targets last week, and it turned into 3 for 23. He had 5 targets the week before that in the big bonanza of a game against Carolina. It was 4 for 31.
All the evidence targets, you need.
Not all targets are made the same, and Mariota targets aren't good. They're just not. All the downfield targets to Kyle Pitts sucked. All the targets to Drake London sucked.
The number 8 overall pick.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, they threw the ball to him just poorly. Right? Like, 7 targets is enough, but you just want better targets going his way. I think DJ Moore is an absolutely great play. I do worry a little bit about the rain if it gets too bad, but we saw him 11 targets 2 weeks ago against Atlanta, 152 yards.
Last week was disappointing because they were down the entirety of the game. He ends up just 2 for 24.
Cincinnati beat the tar out of them.
They did. You got the bad P.J. Walker. Like, P.J. Walker can be very good for fantasy football and can be just an absolute destruction.
Yeah, I think it's as risky as DJ Moore always is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's never been a game that it didn't seemingly line up for DJ Moore to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like. So I definitely think he could replicate and have a big game. 2 weeks ago, he had that monster Hail Mary touchdown to end the ball game. Had him, 152 yards.
Yeah, AJ Terrell still not practicing right now for the Falcons.
That's
big
news.
They just don't have people that can really stop DJ Moore. I don't think
they have, like, PJ Walker.
The sure, it's certainly
like, what do you mean when you say he's a good play? Then where do you think he finishes this week?
I think he finishes as a wide receiver 2, and pretty much every wide receiver 2 should be started.
Kyle Pitts did play well against Carolina two weeks ago.
He's there.
Kyle Pitts or Greg D?
Greg D.
Oh no, I don't like this question. Let's see. So we have 9 targets in that game you were talking about, Andy. It turned into 5 for 80 and a score. 7 targets against the Chargers, 2 for 27. So, I mean, just the targets were bad in that Charger game, it would seem. I'm going to go with Greg D.
Talking about Kyle Pitts is not fun. I tried to help everybody.
It's really not.
I moved him.
It's really, really, really not. When you... 5 for 80 and a touchdown is sensational.
Yeah,
for a tight end. There are not many tight ends out there that can even have the opportunity to do that. Knowing he could do it every week and they don't feature him is so frustrating.
Let's jump into the mailbag and blitz some trade questions.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Ooh. Instagram question from MuzzyBear93. I was offered Jalen Waddle and Zeke for Ooh. Dalvin Cook in a PPR league. Should I take it?
Yes.
I'm a probably yes, unless you have no other running back depth.
I'm a probably yes, too.
Sure. Jalen Waddle is worth it. He's so good.
And yet, I heard that you declined a very interesting dynasty trade relating to Jalen Warren.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I did.
I heard that yesterday, and I was actually very surprised because I...
What's the offer? I might go send it.
The trade offer was, I believe, Jalen Waddle and a pick for CeeDee Lamb.
What?
Yeah.
And I was shocked to hear that it was declined.
I think there was more in that trade. I don't remember.
There better be.
But
that's crazy, man.
Well, I do think CeeDee Lamb is so in a vacuum startup draft. Which one would you take?
Jalen Waddle
by a lot.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. By Dallas is adding somebody for sure because I don't think CeeDee Lamb could be that guy. Waddle is that dude.
Waddle is amazing.
Yeah,
One of my favorite dynasty players. And
interesting. So you're still bullish on CeeDee Lamb.
I,
to become what we have hoped for the last 5 years or whatever it's been. Any day now.
Yeah, I mean, CeeDee Lamb's been good.
Yes, but Jalen Waddle has been elite.
Jalen Waddle has certainly been better than CeeDee Lamb this year. Yeah.
Okay.
Dalvin Cook for A.J. Brown. Jeremy wants to know.
I mean, the
it's
value.
Fine, it's fair.
Yeah,
if you
the
need
value
a,
is there.
Need a wide receiver. Zach Graham, 85. CeeDee Lamb for Damian Pierce in a PPR league.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair trade.
It's fair, but PPR bumps it to me to see.
Sure.
Them.
Instagram question, Jason. MKJR419 wants to know.
Okay.
D-Hop for Jalen Hurts.
Oh, interesting. Right now, quarterbacks are fascinating in fantasy football this year because I do feel like there's a handful that you pretty much need to compete. Usually it's like, oh, find this guy off of waivers, that guy off of waivers. But there's a few that just have a ceiling you can't reach. Those are the teams it seems like it's going to be in the playoffs. So, unless you have a path for grabbing someone like Tua, who I think has a really nice ceiling and could be easily acquired, I don't want to give up a Jalen Hurts. But D-Hop is awesome. So I think it's fair value. If I was drafting, I would draft Hopkins right now ahead of Hurts.
Because you would just take the replacement value at quarterback.
Exactly.
A reminder, since it's waivers day, check your waiver wire. See who is dropped. And a reminder again, the Spotify Live Party Room today, 3 p.m. Pacific,
woo-hoo,
6 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow we have Never Not Working. We've got the matchups. We've got the starts of the week. The whole kit and caboodle, so join us there. Jointhefoot.com. Support the podcast. Get access to premium tools, the Discord, all that good stuff.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.